John Cassidy is an Emmy Award-winning Australian Indian filmmaker. Most recently, he directed, executive produced, and shot The Deep End, a freeform Hulu four-part docuseries exploring one of today's most controversial spiritual teachers. His debut feature, When Lambs Become Lions, received the 2017 Sundance Documentary Fund, was nominated for two 2019 IDA Awards in Best Cinematography and Best Editing, and screened at Mount Film in 2018 after winning a commitment grant and ultimately the special jury prize in Telluride. John is currently developing a new film as Concordia Studios Artist in Residence. Krista Mozell is a New York-based director, best known for her Sundance Grand Jury Prize, the award-winning documentary The Wolf Pack, that was in 2015. Over the last decade, she's been working with short-form storytelling for publications such as Vice, Nowness, and the New York Times, where she created a series called Something Big, Something Small, featuring talent such as Pharrell Williams. Krista is also known for Skate Kitchen, HBO's Betty, and Netflix Untold, Caitlyn Jenner. Together, John and Krista are bringing Sophia to Mountain Film 2023. Briefly, the film is set in Hong Kong, and it's about a relentless inventor who's fighting to bring consciousness to the world's most recognized humanoid robot. As capitalist expectations threaten his lifelong vision, Sophia poses pressing questions about AI, engineering, empathy, and what it means to be human. John and Crystal, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to join me.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. So, John, please briefly describe your path to filmmaking.
Yeah, I mean, I started using a camera at a pretty young age. My parents were missionaries, and so in my childhood, I would go on these trips to other countries to do the work that they were doing. And at about, I'd say, 9 or 10 years old, I started picking up a camera and just recording what we were doing. And it was in no way like a necessarily a path to filmmaking. I didn't know I wanted to do film or documentary, but it was the first time I got to see the power of that tool and what it was like to take something, to document something in one place and to share it in another place to kind of bridge that cultural gap and to start a conversation between two communities that were very different.
Thank you. Crystal, same exact question for you, your path to filmmaking.
I mean, I started in more of a theater background in high school. There was a directing program that I would got engaged in. I started in acting, and I think then I became a bit insecure of being in front of an audience. And so I don't know, I was just also I was interested in video, and there was a video art program that I went to in high school at Otis College, and that just really inspired me because I'm a visual artist as well. And then, I don't know, I think that I just always loved to tell stories since I was young, and kind of just, it became an extension, you know, originally starting with documentaries, and now I've moved over to scripted narrative as well. But I think that I like telling stories that are real from real people's point of view, and just having like a kind of unique, dreamy outlook on a story and like a real point of view. I think that's like why I really connected with John's filmmaking as well. So when him and I first started working together, I just, you know, we have like a very similar aesthetic. And, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. John, did you find the story of Sophia, or did Sophia and David Hansen find you? Also, could you sum up that story?
Yeah, I mean, Crystal is the one to really tell that story. She's the one that found Sophia.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I had seen a video on YouTube of Sophia getting her citizenship in Saudi Arabia, and I was instantly just very curious about what that was about. And then I sort of went into a whole spiral of Sophia videos and robots, and made my way to their website, which I, you know, contacted them. They got back to me right away. And when I eventually got on the phone with David Hansen, you know, I said, why do you do this? And he said, I'm interested in consciousness, which for me was not what I expected. I was expecting somebody that's interested in robotics and technology, but I think that he's actually interested in what a human is and what does it mean to be alive. And that was really just a poetic way of explaining why he wants to make a robot. And so I, at that moment, I was doing my series with HBO. So I hit up John and was like, hey, do you want to check out and see if this is a story? And then John.
Yeah. And so then, I really admired Crystal and her work, and she had been almost like a advisor consultant on the first film I had done. So I was super excited to be working with Crystal again. And so I went to Hong Kong, met David Hanson, met Sophia, met Elaine, his mother, and right off the bat, it was really clear, this is a character who just wears it all on his sleeves. There was just this kind of beautiful chaos to the way he was moving through the world and holding these meetings and holding these design sessions and these building sessions on Sophia. And then there was a point where we realized that his mother was a really crucial part to the process of making the skin. I remember at that moment calling Crystal and being like, this is a family mission. They've been doing this for a really long time. They really believe in it, and it's bigger than just Sophia. They've made a lot of different types of robots, and there's a deeper purpose for why he's doing what he's doing. I think that was the moment for both of us as storytellers that we really kind of got hooked and realized that there's a deeper narrative here that we could scratch at.
So do you see Hanson as a genius or a charlatan, as some critics have called him? Exactly who is this man and how was he to work with? He himself has said, I come from a family of geniuses and criminals. Is Hanson both?
I think David Hanson is a really good person. I think that he means well and absolutely, he has this vision that he is relentless in bringing to fruition. And I think that he, I think he's a genius, personally. Mm-hmm. When you see somebody work, day and night on their creation, and for him, it's I think that he has this idea that humanity is on his shoulders. He has, there's a lot going on right now with AI and people are really questioning where it's going and what's happening with it. And for him, he feels like we have to install compassion and thoughtfulness towards these machines, because we want them to feel the same to us when they actually, quote unquote, wake up one day. So I think that I personally think that everything that he does comes from a positive place.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's a really good person. And I, at the same breath, I think it's important to mention that I think he's often misunderstood. And for us, I think what you see of Sophia on the internet, when you see people talk about her versus when you pull back the curtain on David Hanson and his process and his thinking and his motivation for why he's created Sophia, they can sometimes be different. And for me, it was really helpful getting to know David better and understanding why he made Sophia, because when you pull it back, there is this large question I think everyone's asking right now, why do we need AI? Why do we need human-like robots? And when you have a conversation with David about that, it becomes really clear. His motivation for that is because he thinks that these robots can help us. They can help us with our human issues that we have created. But in the same breath, he also mentions that it's important to remember that what you see in all the Hollywood films where these robots, become smarter than us and start to take over is a real possibility that could happen. And I think what we saw recently with the warning letter that was put out by Elon Musk and other leaders in the AI space saying, please pause everything for the next 6 months, I think this just affirms what a lot of people in the AI space have been saying for a while now. And so going back to, you know, why David Hanson made Sophia, I think at the end of the day, like, the thing he always would remind us of and say is that we're going to need these robots to help us with our own problems. But if we make them in a way where we aren't respecting them, treating them with love, treating them with compassion, like we do with most pieces of technology, like think about the way you treat your car or your phone or your printer, we treat it like it's something here to serve us. But the moment you put a human-like face on a machine, the dynamic changes and we start to bring this human-to-human interaction to it. And treating it with more compassion and more empathy. And I think at the end of the day, that's David's goal, so that when these machines do become smarter than us, we aren't treating them as servants, but instead treating them as equals.
Well, I mean, it could be argued cars are very, very smart these days, but they're not ever going to be sentient. And I think a lot of the debates, at least what I've been reading, places like Axios, the sort of linchpin issue is the ability of these robots to become sentient or not. So, go ahead, respond to that.
All I would say is that, especially after making this project, I don't know that I would share the belief that these machines aren't going to become sentient. I think we don't know. And I think if you look back at history and look back at moments in technology, like when the car was created or when the rocket was created, or when the plane was created, or when the internet was created, most of the time before those moments, we're terrified of that change, and we think it's going to destroy the way our society works, and that everything is going to get, you know, ruined. And oftentimes, it becomes a really important moment in humanity and society. And I think we're at another one right now with AI. And I think the question is not, are these things going to become alive or not? Are they going to become smarter than us or not? I think a lot of people a lot of them already are. Yeah, it's happening, whether we like it or not. Yeah. The question now is how do we handle it, and how do we do it responsibly? And I think that's what really excites us about David Hanson and his mission is because that's at the forefront. That's at the forefront of what he does. And, you know, not just as filmmakers and friends, as people that were around him a lot, it was really inspiring to see him make choices that weren't always financially beneficial for his company before his mission, but instead were the right thing to do. And those were kind of the moments for us that really kind of like got us reinvigorated in the project and reminded us why we were doing it.
Great. What were your greatest challenges and greatest surprises in creating Sophia?
I mean, one of the biggest surprises, and I'll let you jump in, Crystal, one of the biggest surprises for me was just how hard it is to make something human-like. Like, I watched his team spend months just getting Sophia's finger to be able to play one key on the piano. And I remember watching this over and over and over and thinking, wow, when I was 1-2 years old, I could do this without even thinking about it. And this is taking like a team of 10 humans and months of time to get this machine to be able to do this one thing, which is, it's an artistic pursuit. It's not even, you know, it's not even a necessary thing, but this artistic pursuit is like so hard. So I came up with like a much deeper appreciation for what it means to be human and just how complex we are and how some of the things that we take quite for granted that we do every day are really hard to replicate in something that is non-human.
Crystal, do you have something to add to that? Okay.
I mean, for me personally, like, the hard part is always, like, the challenging part for me is always, like, how are we going to turn this entire man's life into a movie and, you know, give it what it, you know, deserves? And I think that there's like so many beautiful parts to David's life, and I feel so, you know, there's like this moment where you realize the structure is working, and like, it's like all the anxiety. For me, it's like I have a lot of anxiety until the structure is figured out, and then it's figured out, and then I relax, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. So it, for me, it's the same thing. Every movie, it's always the same, the hard part. But okay. I don't know. The easy part is just like, you know, exploring and being curious about something and learning about, you know, somebody like David. It was just incredible. Like, you know, there's just, as a human being, he's like the most interesting man alive, you know?
Okay. So in that context, why are you excited about bringing the film to Mountain Film, and what do you hope audiences will take away from Sophia?
Well, I'm really excited for people in Telluride to meet Sophia. She's going to be coming to the festival along with David Hansen. So I'm really excited for people to see her journey over the last couple of years and then get the chance to interact with her and ask her questions and dance with her. I think that'll be really fun.
Dance with her? Okay. You mean verbally dance with her, I presume.
No. She dances. She'll probably be dancing at the premiere. Yeah. What about you, Crystal?
Yeah.
Crystal, I mean, I think that everybody has like a different takeaway with the film, and I'm just really excited to have conversations with people about kind of what's happening in the world right now. And I think something that's really important and exciting about our film and David Hansen is that he has like a very optimistic point of view on the subject of AI, which I think a lot of people are scared. And if anything, I hope it can kind of like relieve some fears. You know, just like the more information we get and the more responsible we get with AI, like, we will feel better about it. So, yeah.
That's a good takeaway, because you three will be certainly under the gun during the Q&A to answer some of those questions. I'm sure there'll be a riot of questions for you. So this has been Susan Debrock, Telluride Inside and Out. Really delighted to be speaking with John and Crystal, who are bringing their film Sophia to Mountain Film, and Sophia herself, I just learned, will be coming too. Thank you so much for joining me, both of you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Cool.